Oh, it seems John has been faithful in proclaiming the Lord's word. But here he is in prison, behind bars, suffering. And while he's sitting there in prison, he hears about the deeds of the Christ. And if you look back in the book of Matthew, a few chapters before, you see that Jesus is healing. He is doing miracles. Amazing things are happening at the hands of Jesus. And he sends his messengers to Jesus to ask Jesus this question: are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Now, if John is in prison, I could imagine him wanting to ask a few other things. I could imagine him, after hearing of the deeds of the Christ, the Messiah, asking Jesus, "Jesus, if you've done all of these things for people, in healing them and making the blind see, making the deaf hear, would it be possible for you to get me out of prison? Can you send your angel to release me?" But he doesn't ask that. Or perhaps you could hear John saying, "Look, Jesus, I've done all of these good things. I've preached your word. Why am I in prison? Can you give me some explanation for why I am suffering?" But he doesn't say that. He doesn't defend himself or ask for an explanation for why he's in this predicament. Or I could imagine him saying, "Jesus, can't you stop Herod and stop Herod's wife from what they are doing to me? Can you turn their hearts?" But he doesn't express any anger or bitterness toward Herod. No, the only question he asks through these messengers is, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" In other words, he's asking Jesus, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that God has promised beforehand in the Old Testament, that will come to save us from our sins, to rescue us? Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" John the Baptist is interested in the fulfillment of the promises of God. Now, some people disagree on what was in John's mind here. Some people say, well, John the Baptist was doubting that Jesus was the Messiah. After proclaiming that he was the one who was to come, now he doubts whether Jesus really was, because, for whatever reason, maybe because he's in prison, because he's not being rescued, because maybe Jesus isn't doing what he expected. But we don't hear that. We don't know that about John. And on the other hand, some others say that he's not doubting, that he is fully convinced in his mind that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, and that he is asking this question through his messengers to teach his messengers, or to teach others, that Jesus is the Messiah. But whether he doubts or whether he is fully convinced, we don't know. We can't get into his mind, but we can hear his question, and we can see what the focus of his attention and his energies is, and that is on the fulfillment of the promises of God, on the rescue that God has promised to bring through the Savior Jesus Christ. He trusts in God's promises and believes that they will come true. That despite his outward situation, despite the fact that he is in prison and he is suffering, he wants to know, are the promises of God being fulfilled now? Where is the Messiah? Or he wants other people to know that here is the Messiah, that here is the one who has come to save them. His focus and his energies are on looking to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who can rescue John, who can rescue his messengers, who can rescue the world, who has come for the salvation of the world. John is interested in the fulfillment of the promises of God, and he trusts in them. Not focused on just his situation and on that being fixed for this life now, but rather on the fulfillment of God's promises for eternity, for his people. And what does Jesus say in response to John's question? He says to the messengers, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Jesus points John to what has been happening. People have been healed. And these healings say that Jesus is the one who has the power over disease and over death. He's able to heal the corruption that has been brought about by sin. And if he's able to do that, that means he's able to address the deeper problem which underlies all of these other problems, and that is sin. He has come to forgive sin and to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, which he will do later. And then to rise again from the dead so that all who are in him, who have been baptized into his death and raised to new life, that they too may be raised on the last day and they may stand before God, washed of all their sins, hearing the word, seeing the Lamb of God, standing on their feet, clothed in white, before the Lamb in eternity. Jesus points John to what he has been doing, and it says that Jesus is the one who has the power over sin and death and the devil, and that he has come to forgive sins. He is the one who is to come. And so as we see John here in prison, and we recognize that there are difficulties and troubles that surround us, there are fears that we have about what the future will hold. And as we look to various people to solve the problems of this world, we know that Jesus is the one who came already to die and to pay for our sins, and that our sins are laid on him. And he has been raised from death, and should we die today or tomorrow or the next day, we will be raised from death, and we need not fear. And we turn our attention to him as the one who came and the one who is to come, because he has given us these promises that he will come again. And we have this advantage over John the Baptist that we can look back to Jesus' death on the cross and see that here in Jesus is the solution, that he has come and paid for our sins. And we can hear his promises, the promises of the Son of God, that he will come again and he will raise our bodies. But we also have this benefit, that we know that he does come now. In the Sanctus that we will sing before we receive the Lord's Supper, we'll sing, "Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Because the one, Jesus Christ, who came and who is coming, comes now to us in the name of the Lord. And he is blessed. He is the one who has the power over our sins. He forgives our sins, gives his body into death, and his body and blood here for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we have life. And we say, "Blessed is he." He is the one who comes, and we rejoice. No matter our circumstances here and now, we rejoice that the one who has come and who is coming comes now to us to forgive us and to strengthen us for the rest of this earthly journey, however long that may last. However long it may be until we either die or he comes again in glory. He is the one who has come for us to redeem us. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.